Eric gets weird, Dor gets sick, and Mark gets philosophical on this week's episode of Android App Addicts. Android App Addicts episode 493. This is the show where we talk about Android apps, Android hardware, Amazon, Google, Facebook, and whatever else happens to run across our demented minds. I am your host, Mark, sometimes known as the Sultan of the Soapbox Cockerel, and joining me this week, as always, they're here when I'm not, are the guys who really run this show, Eric, the executive, the manager, the great one, Ardini, and Steve, the door-to-door geek, McLaughlin. Hey, gentlemen.
Hey, Mark, what's going on? Happy in between Christmas and New Year's.
Merry Kwanzaa, Hanukkah, Christmas, New Year, solstice celebration of your choice.
Did you get anything good?
No. Happy Festivus for the rest of us.
It was on the 23rd, I believe. I missed it this year.
Yeah.
Is it always on the 23rd?
Boxing Day or...
Is it always on the 23rd or is it always different?
I think it's always on the 23rd.
I don't know. Yeah.
We had the feats of strength.
Hearing of grievances. I got a lot of problems with you people.
Exactly.
Or as we call that, the Christmas Day at my house. The hearing of grievances is a regular holiday occurrence when my mom is in town. doesn't have to be any special
I understand.
Day. She just has to be in my presence for the hearing of grievances to occur. But I'm sure I'm the only person with crazy family. You guys love and adore every member of your family, right?
All of them. Every bit of them.
Between us, my golden rule in life is to never trust somebody with the last name McLaughlin. But just me maybe saying that? I don't know.
What if they weren't born with that last name? Does that make it better?
Then I question their sanity.
Fair enough.
Like my wife. I love her, but I question that sanity every day.
My wife and I recently celebrated our 23rd wedding anniversary, and I like to say she is practically perfect in every way except for her taste in men.
My anniversary is coming up in 3 days.
Nice.
In fact, when this show goes live on the RSS feed, we will be about 3 hours away from my wedding anniversary.
Which is January 1st, right?
Yes, because I needed a day I would not forget. So it's January 1st. And because I'm a mild numerologist, the January 1st is 0101. And since that is 4 characters long, the year we got married was 2004.
My sister got married on 7707.
And Dor, the whole world celebrates your anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Or mock us, one or the other, yes.
Two of my best friends in life were born on your anniversary. And I like to say the whole world celebrates.
Hell of a day to be born.
So this is our first show post-Christmas. First off, I want to apologize for not being with you last week. I had every intention to, but since I moved to Atlanta in 2012, the city of Atlanta, more specifically the drivers of Atlanta, have had a concerted, dedicated group effort to kill me. And an assassin tried once again to murder me by a vehicular homicide as a little lady who was in a hurry to go get some milk and bread at the grocery store. So she decided to smash up 3 vehicles along the way. So I was dealing with police officers and police reports and all that sort of stuff. Meaning, if you hadn't figured it out yet, I was in a car accident on Thursday before the podcast. So I had a good reason for not being here.
I felt really bad during the podcast too, because I was saying how weak you were and just wimping out on us and everything, and then Dor like, no, I think he's in an accident. Oh, okay, I'll swallow my face now.
And I'll say there are pictures. I did see it, so it did happen.
I saw the pictures, verified.
And I believe it was a Thursday night about a year and a half ago, maybe almost 2 years. It was in February that I was in a car accident and didn't get to make this to the show for that same reason. It seems to be on Thursdays, guys.
I know, but I'm afraid to change the night of the shows because then you might get in an accident on that day too. But
some people stretch for an excuse to not go to work.
There you go. If I'm just not feeling it that day, I hit my brakes in the middle of the interstate and
don't hit your brakes and just slam right into her.
Oh, this little lady, I'm pretty sure was, I don't want to give any names or anything, but I'm pretty sure this lady was in the early stages of dementia. Maybe she was just super rattled because I literally crushed her car like a tin can. It was a little Toyota, and I drive a half-ton pickup truck. But she kept asking the same question over and over and didn't really seem oriented to location and time. So maybe her bell was just really rung, or maybe she really shouldn't be on the road anymore. I don't know which. But she's not going to be on the road anymore in that car.
Did she have a stop sign that she didn't obey?
No, she was sitting in this was a 5-lane section of road, 2 lanes either way with a turn lane in the middle. And I was cruising in the far right lane, and she decided to cross 2 lanes to get into the grocery store. She was in the turn lane, and she executed her turn when I was about 18 feet from her.
Oh,
I mean, it was nothing. I don't know what she was thinking. I don't know how you don't see a 3,500 pound pickup truck coming at you, especially when it's bright red, but somehow she managed to not see me and gave me less than a second to react, which meant there was no reaction. I did manage to get my foot off the accelerator before I hit her, but that's about as far as it went.
Wow.
Well, that helps.
Yeah, I thought that counts.
And I shoved her into another car who was just sitting at the intersection minding her own business and suddenly became part of a 3-car collision. And she jumped out. The first thing she said was, "I've got it all on camera." She was one of those people with the like fair tax bumper stickers all over the back of the car and everything. And right. She had a dash cam. And when the police officer got there, she offered to show him the footage. He was like, "No, I can pretty well look and see the story here. I don't need that."
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Like, I've seen this about 30 times this week. I think we're good.
I spent $70 on this thing, though. Justify this purchase.
She was a little disappointed. She really was.
I bet. And the only thing you can do is get out of your truck, look at the one car, look at the van, look at the car, look at the van, and shrug your shoulders and say, I don't know. I mean, this is what happened.
Sorry about
She can put it up on YouTube.
Merry Christmas.
Say it was Russia or something, you know. They all have the dash cams videos up on YouTube all the time.
Yeah, but the other lady's insurance has claimed responsibility. I'm glad. I mean, I was the one who did the striking, so they could have tried to pin it on me. But I guess after speaking with the lady, they realized, oh yeah, we don't have a case here.
Good. So, less hassle for you then.
Yeah, I'm not too concerned. If it wasn't structural damage, that truck is 11 years old and has 165,000 miles on it. I'd just let it ride. But the entire front end is pretty much gone from the grill forward or from the radiator forward. And so I'm basically driving around begging for something to hit my radiator. So because of that, I'll get it fixed.
Well, I wish you better luck than me. I got rear-ended in August. The gap insurance payment finally went out December 10th.
Wow. Wow.
And their excuse, I will say this, is a very valid excuse. With everything that happened in Texas, the Houston area, the flooding, the tornado, the hurricanes in South Florida, they were extremely undermanned and understaffed for such an event. Okay, yeah, I can believe that. But can I have my money, please?
Right.
Because it wasn't my fault. So yeah, and they still haven't paid me for my $89 laptop. I'm still harassing them over that.
They probably didn't take you seriously when you said it was $89.
I even emailed them the receipt and the website of where to buy it right now for $89, which of course everyone said, "You should have said it was $1,000 Ultrabook, man." No, a lie's not going to fix this or make it better. No.
Windows 10.1, right, Dor?
Yeah.
Dishonesty is never a way to prosper. That's for sure. All right. So enough about that. So anybody get any exciting or interesting hardware for the Christmas break? That's what geeks get, right? They either get hardware or gift certificates or ties.
Ding, ding, ding. Door number 3 was correct. I got 2 ties and 2 shirts, and that's it.
Huh.
I asked for a bottle of Johnny Walker Blue, but no. I get 2 shirts and 2 ties.
I got a metal detector, a pinpointer. That's hardware, I guess. Not Android-related, though.
I got my office Secret Santa bought me the most, my best, my favoritest thing ever. She bought me a fish tie. A tie shaped nice. Like a fish with the head at the wide end, nice. Fins. Like when you tie it and wrap it around, actually the knot looks like fins. It is gloriously tacky. It is the most amazingly disgusting thing ever, and I love her so much for it.
Great. Well, that's good.
So, but I know, but that's not the important question mark. The important question is, we still don't know what happened with the second tablet.
Well, let me just say that hardware abounded in my home this year. So my wife got the Kindle Fire HD 8. My daughter got the second Kindle Fire HD 8. And just before Christmas, they put the Kindle Fire 10-inch back on sale again. So Daddy also got a Kindle Fire 10-inch tablet. So we're three tablets, three Kindle Fire family. All of them I've installed the Google Play Store and the Chrome launcher or Google launcher that replaces the Kindle Fire one, so you don't see the store the first thing you do. So they're basically Kindle tablets. Ironically, so the 8-inch tablets were on sale for $49, $49.99. We went today to Walmart because my daughter wanted a case. She spent $39 on a case.
Oh, man.
For the $49 tablet. I didn't tell her that it was only a $50 tablet. But yeah, she has wrapped her cheap tablet in an expensive case.
Well, that's okay. If she doubles the life of the tablet, she's fine. Here's my question, though. On a scale 1 to 10, 1 being single click, 10 being lots of work, how difficult was it to put Google Play services and Google Play on the tablets?
It was 6 files. And the only trick is the order of operations of it. So if you Google how to make your your Amazon Fire more like a regular Android tablet, there's several websites out there. Basically, you put on Google Web Services Framework, you put on the Google Play Store, you put on the Google Account Manager, and the fourth thing I can't remember off the top of my head. But then there have to be some strategic reboots in there. And so that's the thing. You have to do A and B and then reboot and then do C and then reboot. And if you don't do the reboots in the right order, you get inconsistent results. I grabbed my wife's tablet one day when I was home and she was not. And it took me an hour, a good hour, to figure it out the first time. And then I was able to replicate it in 5 minutes each time after that.
I think 3 or 4 then.
Yeah.
Not hard, just you have to pay a attention, and that's fair. Yeah.
And
can you tell the difference between this extra half a gig on your 10 compared to the 8?
No. They're all very sluggish devices. My number one piece of feedback. But it's a $50 tablet and a $100 tablet. So they're just sluggish. They're chunky, they're beefy. Compared to my, OnePlus 5, that is, flagship quality device, and the Moto X Pure that I came from that with, having worked with really high quality hardware, I get a little frustrated when I have to tap and then tap and then tap, and then the first tap registers. But if you're not accustomed to high-end hardware, you might not ever notice a difference. My wife doesn't. It's a tablet term. My daughter doesn't. So I recognize that I am pretty biased when talking about it. If I had it to do all over again, I'd buy myself an 8. The 10 isn't worth the extra cost to get that extra 2 inches. It makes it bulkier. It makes it heavier. It's a little uncomfortable to hold for a long period of time, like when reading or whatever. The 8 is just much more comfortable in the hand. So my recommendation is to buy the HD Fire 8. It is a great tablet for what you pay for it, but understand that caveat there. It's a great tablet for what you pay for it. It's not a great tablet. The best thing I can say about the camera is that it has one.
Oh yeah. I mean, I don't think anybody would buy it for the camera. On literally December 24th, my youngest snuck his tablet in his case up to the bathroom when he took a tub. And when the battery ran out, he just left it sitting next to the tub, and he got a little splash happy. And I'm pretty sure that tablet is dead. Oh. So I might end up buying him another Kindle Fire, just because I already have a really good case for it that I got from Amazon Review Trader for 99 cents. And he doesn't need anything even remotely special. I honestly like the parenting features you can do on it. And all he needs is a couple little stupid games and he's thrilled happy. So I might end up buying him another one. People keep saying that the sales are continuing on. They're not relenting, but the same token, I'll say I'm in no rush to get him another one. Because he got a 2DS, which was only $79, for Christmas, and he is in love.
Yeah. So right now, 9:25 PM on December 28th, The Kindle Fire 8 is $80. The 7 is $50. And the 10 is $150 to back up to full price.
Yeah.
Wait, the 8 with 16 gigs of RAM is $80. The 8 with 32 gigs of RAM is $109.
Of storage.
Yeah. I'm sorry, storage. Yeah, not RAM. I'm very pleased with the devices for what they are. SCJ in the chat room asked if I remove the ads. When you remove the launcher is what shows the ads. So, yeah, there aren't any lock screen ads anymore because I replaced that launcher. Honestly, I feel a little guilty about that. I mean, part of the reason I got that so cheap was that I agreed to watch their ads, and then I hacked it so that I don't see their ads anymore. And I kind of feel like I'm not living up to my side of the bargain there.
Yes and no. You know, Amazon and Jeff Bezos knew a certain percentage of people would figure out a way, whether it's incredibly difficult or not, to get rid of the ads. And that went into their equation of how they were doing this. So just take for granted you were in the percentile that you're supposed to be in where you're not supposed to see the ads.
Amazon knows me too well. I looked for the tablet for a second, and I immediately get the certified refurbished, which is on sale for $44.99 for an 8.
Yeah, which 16. Is right up your alley.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'll say in my household, the only other things they got, well, I got to say, anybody worrying about Lego and their stock, don't worry about it, because my family got enough Legos to fill like five houses. Way too many Legos. Because it was like people didn't know what to buy my kids. They knew they liked Legos, so everybody bought Legos, except somehow they still ended up with $110 in Nintendo eShop gift cards, which I promptly ordered into a pile and stuck in my pocket. Because I explained to the wife, legally, they cannot have Nintendo accounts where they buy things. You have to be 18 years old. So me, being the responsible father, will have to take these and put these on my account. So they got Legos.
Do they have their own accounts then, illegally?
No, they don't have their accounts. They have their own profiles on the Switch, but there is no eShop linked to their account because legally they can't have their own account. That's what I'm saying.
Thank you for not going to jail, Dor. I'm glad you're upstanding.
Having littered my home now with Amazon-branded opportunities to purchase, which is essentially all a Kindle or an Echo is, I have learned some interesting things about the Amazon ecosystem that I didn't know before, and I thought I might share it with the audience. And one of them has to do with kid accounts. So through something that this may be old news to some people, but it's new to me. Amazon has a feature called the Amazon Household, where you can have up to, I think, three adults and an unlimited number of kids in a single household. Now, previously, they'd let you sort of share accounts, and you could just say these family members, it happens to live six states away, but yeah, they're my family member, and they could share the Prime things. Now, one of the things they've done is that adult accounts automatically, as soon as you link them, share credit card information. So that makes it much less likely that you're going to share your account with your roommate or your coworker or something like that. But for my wife and I, that's super convenient. 'Cause for all these years, she's been sending me Amazon links and say, buy this. I need this. Well, now we don't have to do that on her Kindle Fire tablet and, anywhere else, obviously, but it came about because of the tablet. It just knows that she's on my account, and she buys something, it goes on my credit card. Then there are teen accounts. The teens can be set up, also linked to your account. Now, it's their own Amazon account, so they log on with their own account, keep their own password with their email address, and you just have to register them as part of your household. And there's two ways that can work. You can set up a purchase limit on it. Say they can buy anything they want up to $10. As I have mine set up, every purchase goes to me first. So they go through the cart, they do everything, they click checkout, the whole process. Then I get an email saying, are you okay with this? And I can veto it, or I can approve it, or I can pocket veto it. They've got a week. If I don't approve it in a week, it goes away. So today, my kid plays saxophone, and she needed some new reeds. And she was like, Daddy, I need some new reeds. Well, go order it. And she, I can do that? Yes, you can. And it came to me, and it was really cool. We were at the we were going out to a shopping mall or whatever, and so on the road, she's ordering her reeds, and she hits the button. It comes to me, and you know, as soon as we pull in the parking lot, I hit the approve button, and they're ordered. So I didn't know that was an option. It's a pretty cool thing. Plus, they can also share all the Prime Video stuff across all the devices that way. And then they have a child account. So that's the teen account. And then the third level is the child account that doesn't have any purchasing at all, but lets them see the video stuff. And all those along the way on the Prime Video, you can set limits, PG-13, NC-17. It uses the TV and movie ratings. So you can say, my kid can't see anything above this rating, and it just won't show up when they log into the Amazon Prime account with their credentials. It's all a pretty cool system.
Yeah, on my kids, the only thing he had that was different, and it might be because of an older version of the tablet, in at least the Amazon app store on the tablet, he could go into a filtered version of it and put stuff on a wish list. And then I could see that wish list and say yes, no, yes, no, yes, no for apps. But yeah, it didn't give him any ability to actually browse Amazon, which I was very thankful of.
Right. Yeah, and it's also you can set up different payment methods. So like right now on my Amazon account, I have my personal credit card and my business credit card, depending on what I'm making purchases for. But you know, like if my kids get prepaid Visas or reloadable, like the Bluebird things, I can put that on there, and you can link a particular payment to a particular account. So then I can set it up where I don't need the pre-approval. My kid can spend whatever they want on their own card. So that's a really a good way to maximize that $100 a year you're spending on Prime.
And if history has taught Americans anything, we will go towards convenience. Mm-hmm. We will go towards convenience at light speed, or ludicrous speed, dare I say. And it sounds really convenient.
I'm going to go against the grain here. I talked over with my wife the other day. I go, hey, how often do you use Amazon Video? And she said, I don't ever do it. I only do it when you're watching TV. So I'm actually going to cancel my Amazon Prime. This will be probably the first time in 12 years I didn't have Prime, or however, I don't know, it's been a long, maybe 10 years. It's been a long time. I'm going to cancel my Prime subscription. One of the things that I had an issue with this holiday season was I learned to archive my orders, because my wife and I are on the same account. So if I ordered something for her on Amazon for Christmas, I didn't want her to go into, you know, accidentally say, oh, you ordered these things here. But she was getting a notification on her Amazon app every time something shipped or got delivered to the house. She was restrained enough that she didn't look at it. So that was, I was glad for that. But I think that Amazon's making me spend too much money. So I'm going to try, as a little personal experiment. I might be dumb for even trying this, but you know what? I don't get Amazon Prime any cheaper if I do it more often or anything. So it's not like I got grandfathered in at a $79 price. It went up for me too. So I'm going to go without Amazon Prime, see if I spend less, because it won't be as convenient. I'll actually have to drive somewhere or order it from another place where I might want to pay shipping, where I might have to pay shipping. I wouldn't want to, and I probably wouldn't order it.
Two, if you're going to do this right, then you're going to have to keep track of where you drive, when you drive, how much gas you use, and how much that gas costs. If you really want to keep track of your spending list, you got to keep track of that kind of stuff. But two, you already kind of conditioned yourself for this, because you're the guy that told me, I didn't even know it was an option, that whenever I did order something via Amazon Prime, I could say, no, 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 no. You don't have to ship this in 2 days. Take your time and give me credit. And you did that for a lot of your orders. So you were already not really taking full advantage of the Prime features.
Correct. Yeah. I've got like free, you know, a dollar towards Amazon videos that you could buy, or towards Blu-ray purchases, $5. I did a lot of that. Yeah. So, and I do have those credits I'd like to use up before my Prime. I think my Prime subscription expires on the 5th of January. So I do.
Oh, well, you better cancel that credit card or do something right now, because they're going to automatically re-up that.
No, I've already clicked that box to not automatically. Because it's done that to me before. I've had this thought in the past years before, and it's like, oh, well, all right, what the heck? You know, I'm sure it's worth $100, right? I'm just going to try it, you know? I don't know.
Yeah, for me, it is all about convenience. Amazon, you know, originally they were all about saving you money. When they were the bookstore, they were the low price bookstore.
Right.
And then when they became the everything store, they kind of carried that low price ethos around, and now they choose what they want to be low price on. Right. So like their own, the Kindle tablets, for example, are low price. But on other things, they're not. I find that for me, I often don't even care so much about the price. It's the convenience. For example, just this week, I'm out of beard balm. I needed to buy some more beard balm. And I saw it at Walmart for like $6, and I happened to be there, and I didn't pick it up. And then I went online to Amazon, and I saw that the same product was there for $12. And I thought, okay, so it's twice the cost, right? But it's with the free overnight shipping. So basically, the question here is, am I willing to pay $6 to not go back to Walmart? The answer was yes.
Yeah.
So I bought it.
I saw a Target sign that had Target. Pay a little more so you don't have to go to Walmart.
And I'll hate to make this comparison, but it's honestly like our last election. You either choose Amazon or you choose Walmart. In some sense, it's just the lesser of two evils. I mean, that's the bottom line. Because here's the thing. Walmart does the same thing. There are certain things at Walmart that are definitely cheaper than almost everywhere you go. And then there are certain things there that are definitely not the cheapest ones. They just hope you don't notice it. Mm-hmm. Same thing with Amazon. I found every time I looked someplace else for the very same thing, it was often 10 to 15% less if I went someplace else. I will say, and when I'm online, the only reason I tend to stick with Amazon is because I want to give fewer and fewer websites my email address, my name, my address, and my credit card number. So to me, it's limiting the number of places that have my account, which is why I also try to do physical as much as possible. It's just, it most definitely is not convenient.
Yeah, I don't even look at Newegg anymore. You know, that used to be my, used to spend days on Newegg, and, you know, I can't wait to give my email back to Tiger Direct, you know?
I got a beauty of a beat up, completely beat up and scarred Samsung Series 3 Chromebook 2 weeks ago for $75. Originally it was $250. I got it for $75. I opened the box. There's a scratch on the top of it. I don't care. I boot the damn thing up. The battery works fine. The keyboard works fine. Best $75 I've ever spent.
Grade 3, $75. That's for a Chromebook, that's a great deal. I'm you know, Newegg, be ready. I'm coming for you, and I'll probably order a new podcast microphone from you.
I have good news for you. Podnuts.com/Newegg should still work.
See? One more reason, because Podnuts.
And I've never even gotten.
Podnuts.com/Amazon doesn't.
Well, and I've never even gotten a dime from Newegg, because the typical affiliate rate is 0.003% on every purchase, and they don't pay out until you get at least $50. And in 4+ years, I think we've earned like $16.
Well, that's one. I should have left Amazon the minute they dropped Podnuts. I didn't even think about that into the equation. That is one more reason I'm feeling better about this idea.
I'll be interested to see how that works for you.
Especially because I can't go to Best Buy. Best Buy is 60, 70 miles away. There's nothing. I don't even have a Target 60, 70 miles away. You know, it's, we'll be shopping local. I'm going to be having some store shop owner order me something off of Amazon to resell me at 3%. So, oh, yeah, that's true. I can go to Menards.
There's some place you can go, Eric. We both know this.
It's
Menards, baby.
If I need LED lights, that is the place. They are the LED headquarters of the world now.
Also, you mentioned a keyboard. My oldest daughter wanted a piano keyboard, not computer keyboard. And I still had it in my head that those things were expensive. And I was like, man, I don't know if I can get you a keyboard for Christmas. Those things are, I bought her a really high quality 3/4 size synthesizer for like $78. I just didn't know. The Chinese are just cranking them out these days. They're super cheap. So the things that you used to think were expensive may not be that expensive anymore.
So does it have MIDI out that she can plug into a laptop then and manipulate the sound and everything? That's cool.
It can run on battery or AC, and it's got headphone jack. That was the key thing for me. I won't have to listen to
ding,
it.
Ding, ding, ding.
Right.
I'm not saying it's a pro quality or anything, but it's a really nice one. It's a good, solid beginner. The keys are weighted, so they feel like real piano keys. They've got a nice spring back. Shipping and tax and everything was under $80.
And
sounds good to me.
I was looking at Musician's Friend. Which, if anybody who's ever been a musician knows about you, Musician's Friend, and I found this one, and I was all keyed up to buy it, and they wouldn't take my password for whatever reason. What was it? My old password. They've updated their password policy, and my old password was too short, so they wanted me to make a new one, and when I clicked the create new password, I got a PHP error on their website. And I was like, all right, I'm done.
Yeah.
And so I went to Amazon, bought the exact same thing for like $4 less with free Prime shipping. So I don't know that I could get away from Amazon. I think that between the Amazon and the Googles, I have been assimilated.
I may, you know, and I've never ordered anything from AliExpress, and I may start shopping there more now, too, where I've kind of always wanted to dip my toes in some Alibaba and stuff like that. So,
you guys ever just forget the pattern on your phone?
I've never used a pattern. Fingerprints. Okay.
Yeah, don't have a pattern.
Well, yeah, this is the second time in like 3 months that I've just completely forgotten it. I can't remember how to do it.
And you were worried about the driver you hit, Mark? I'm just saying.
But what'll happen is, like, you know, I won't even be thinking about it. I'll get an email or something, and it'll say, you need to do a pattern, and then just muscle memory will kick in, and I'll just do it. But at the moment, at this particular moment, I have no idea how to get into my phone. Can't
Mark, you need a day or two in Florida. Why don't you come over next month? Come spend some time, relax.
Do that.
You got too much going on up there.
I'll just say, Mark, I am 45 years old, and yes, that kind of stuff has happened to me. That's why I don't have a pattern on my phone. I'll never have a pattern on my phone because I will definitely go through that where the wife asked me a question and she asked me to look it up, and I'll just turn to her and say, I can't right now.
Just can't do it.
Well, you're holding your phone. I know, but I can't right now.
I bought a new safe for Christmas, and it's actually got a big dial with 100 numbers on it. And I know. I'm like, well, see, my old one, I've had it almost 20 years, and it was a digital one, 4-digit PIN number. It was really easy to remember. But one day, something burns up on it. So I end up getting it open, luckily, and I have it hacked. I tore it apart, and so now you just hook up any 9-volt battery to it, and it unlocks for you, which is, it keeps it fireproof. I mean, as long as you don't store a bunch of money in there and you don't have burglars, or if you do have a bunch of money in there, don't have burglars, it's still a fire safe. You know, your important documents won't burn up as fast. So, yeah, no, I don't know. I just got to... So what's worse, you know, having one with a 9-volt battery or having a safe with the combination in the drawer right below it, so because you can't remember it?
Yeah, they're equally bad.
Yeah, the 9-volt battery is probably going to throw them for, you know, like, this thing's broke. There's probably nothing in there, you know? I don't know. But yeah, I'm with you, Mark. I can't remember anything.
Anyway. So that's all the Christmas news. Maybe we should talk about some apps on a show called Android App Addicts. Dor, start us off, please.
Well, the first app I'm going to bring is an actual tie-in. I learned about this app over the holiday season. It's called Gift Card Granny, Buy and Sell Discount Gift Cards. So hypothetically, your mom gives you a gift card to Bed Bath & Beyond, and there is literally nothing in Bed Bath & Beyond you want ever for the rest of your life. Well, you can go on to this website or Android app called Gift Card Granny. You can basically give them the code on your gift card and you can sell it on their service. You typically get between 80 and 90 something percent value of your card, unless it's an obsessively popular one, then you're more likely to get like 70 to 80%. But, so if you do have a gift card that you know you do not want, you will not use, you don't want to just buy something stupid just to buy something stupid, you can use Gift Card Granny. Go there, sell your card. And if you're in the need to buy a gift card at a discount, you can get some discounts like AMC movie cards, like $50 movie cards for like $35. So I have an anniversary coming up here, and I might buy her a gift card.
So is it a one-to-one thing, like a $15 AMC gift card gets you a $15 TGI Fridays gift card?
No, you're always going to lose something in the transaction. The site has to make something, and typically you don't go gift card to gift card. You typically take your gift card, put it on there, and sell it.
Okay.
And then you get money that you can get put into your PayPal account, or you can use towards another gift card. But hypothetically, you have a $20 gift card going in, you'll probably get a $15 or less gift card coming out.
But then when you buy the gift card from the same website, you buy it at full face value.
Well, no, you can buy $50 gift cards for sometimes as low as $30-something. Okay. So if you have the mojo and you have like a really desirable card that you want to get rid of, like a Ulta, U-L-T-A, which is a higher end female makeup store, if you go there and sell your card, you'll get over 90% of it. Then you go to something like GameStop or AMC where people are dying to get rid of them, you can probably get a $50 one for like $30. So in the end, you probably could make out.
So I had a situation happen this week. I bought each of my kids a $15 Google Play gift card because, as we've discussed on the show before, it's really hard to give people credit in the Google Play store. The only way to do it is to go buy a physical gift card. So I did that at Walmart, again, hating on Walmart. And one of them didn't work. One of the three didn't work. So I figured, well, they didn't activate it in the store. That happens. You know, there has to be an activation process that keeps you from just stuffing a handful of them in your pocket and walking out. So I go back to the customer service desk and they're like, well, do you have the receipt? It was a gift card. No, I don't have a receipt. It's a gift card. Well, I'm sorry, we can't help you. Will you even try? Can you just scan the code and see if it's active? No, without a receipt, I can't help you. Okay. Would you please throw this $15 in the trash for me? I understand that there is a world in which people will find a random gift card laying on the sidewalk outside of Walmart and go in and try to get money for it. But I also understand that there's a world where, a guy with a family of five who spent hundreds of thousands of dollars at Walmart wants them to do him a solid, and they were unwilling to even try. So it was a little frustrating to me. Gift cards in general are just, it's a scam all the way around. At best, you get back what you put in. At best, most of the time, you end up losing money.
No. What typically happens is that place will always make more money than that gift card. You have a $50 gift card, you end up buying something that costs $55 or $57 or whatever.
I bought my kids some prepaid Visa cards, too. And you pay $5 for the privilege. So you buy the card for $5, and then you put whatever the money on it is. It's a scam.
So on that subject, see this? That's an Xbox Live Gold card, right? Gives you 12 months of Xbox Live chatting. You can then, with the gold card, can you use Netflix. But I didn't realize this is what it said at the bottom. Instead of 12 months, it said 12 messes. I ordered this off of Groupon, and I go to activate it, the day after Christmas, and it says, that's not your region. This, you're going to have to go try to get a refund from wherever you bought this thing. So I get on chat with Groupon, and I'm like, hey, you guys sold me Xbox Gold that's from Brazil that won't work in the United States, even though you knew my address was in the United States. And I had to go through a couple levels, and then they finally said, contact Microsoft. I'm like, well, Microsoft already told me I need to get a refund for it, so I'm contacting you. Well, they did end up sending me a return postage mailer or print-off thing to mail it back to them. But then at the same time, while I was waiting in the chat, I was like, I went on another chat with Microsoft, and they actually fixed it. So I'm not sending that back. But yeah,
at least there was an opportunity to fix it, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
At least they gave
you
a chance.
Microsoft was totally, totally cool. First time maybe the last time I'll ever say that, but I couldn't believe they must have hired some people from Google maybe or something, but their customer service was awesome.
Well, honestly, I hate gift cards, and here's the reason why. My kids got $110 worth of gift cards, three $20 gift cards, and five $10 gift cards. And so I sat there, scratched them all off, and I had my son put it all on the Switch while I read them all off. I could not believe the number of cards that all started with the same six numbers. And there's only like 13 numbers in the card. So I'm thinking to myself, who isn't getting a card, scratching off, and then just trying to scramble some of the end numbers and just guess stuff? And then if they guess one of my numbers, how is Nintendo going to know who actually has what card?
You know,
so to me, the whole gift card scheme is broken, and it's too easily to be fraudulent. So I'm going to ask everyone to never buy any gift cards again.
You know, typing in this Xbox Live Gold, and I'm like, how can this not be brute forced? You know, in this day and age, there's no way that they couldn't brute force. I mean, there's no capitals, small letters. It's all caps and numbers, and there's no. It's just, I don't see how these things are even legit one at all.
Well, yeah, because I do remember a year or two ago, that's what the people said, that whenever you do buy a gift card, number one, always look on the back, make sure nothing is scratched off. But number two, there is always going to be, they said this like 2 years ago, like a 10% chance when you buy that gift card, it's already been cashed in, and there's no way for the person selling it to you to know,
right?
And there's no way for you to know until you try to go cash it in.
So
now I'm thinking, you know, gift cards are literally a gamble.
I'm with you on the fact that gift cards suck. But there are situations, Google Play being a great example, where there is no way to not use a gift card. You know, it's so frustrating that we're stuck with this system that everybody knows is broken. The vendors don't like it. The consumers don't like it. But there's no way around it in so many situations.
There's a way around it. Bitcoin. Bitcoin's the answer.
Yeah, oh, that's true.
Maybe not.
You know, miners aren't allowed to have credit cards in the U.S. You're just not allowed to. So the only way you can give a miner money is either by handing them cash or by giving them a gift card. If you give them cash and they need to buy something electronically, the only way you can do that is by either having a parent do something for them or by giving them a gift card. It's a broken system.
Yeah.
All right. I didn't mean to go down the whole gift card. I just need to figure a way to fix that. I still have some Cinemark movie theaters paper gift certificates that my father-in-law gave me in 1996. And the movie theater that Eric was 60 miles away closed shortly thereafter, and I haven't been to a Cinemark since. But he spent like $100 on that. That money just disappeared into the air. He just lit it on fire.
Yeah, it was gift card aunt back then. Now it's gift card granny.
Anyway, okay, Eric, your next first app, please.
They really hope that that's the case when they sell you the gift card. Anyway,
I think you're right. It's like at a state fair when everything you have to convert it to tickets. They're counting on you not being able to use all those tickets.
Yeah, and none of the games take an even amount. Like if you were to buy $10 worth, you're going to end up with one extra. So my first app is called Strange Situations by Colossal Simulation. This is just a really strange app. It's got a bunch of little mini games in it. Just really weird stuff on this one. It basically, the mini games are just like many other games that we've brought to the show, but they're just all put together in one. So one of them's like the truck with a bunch of immigrants in the back of it. Only they're fish in this game. There's like alien, space invaders, asteroids kind of games. And there's a lot of weird physics in it. Basically, all your physics games wrapped into one. And a dude who's mostly wearing short shorts through the whole most of the game.
Man, Kenny.
I don't think weird physics is the first thing that came to my mind.
No.
Weird, just that. Just
it does. Weird. It does have a video, I think.
Oh, and it's a really helpful video. Yeah, I see that.
The description was written by somebody obviously not a native speaker. Be creative in the free world or skilled in mini games. A game that you are free to do what you want. You can exploding, cutting, throwing objects, driving the vehicles, control a drone, and even alien spacecraft. There are a lot mini games where you can play basketball, throw dogs, bowling, climbing hills, carry goods in the truck, dodge meteors, and more.
Yeah, I know, and I know from Christmas Mass that you know, bragging is not a good thing. But I was pretty good at the basketball mini game.
What about the exploding? You can exploding.
I don't remember exploding. I probably could though.
I'm watching this video and I have no idea what to say except
you got dry humping a fish.
Except you found this app. That's all I can say is, Eric, you found this app. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome. Oh yeah, the pug throwing. That's a pretty neat game. You gotta see how far you can throw a pug for distance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Of course. Yes. You found this game.
I try, man. Gotta keep it real. And strange.
How many squids can you fit in the back of a pickup truck? Let's find out.
I wish I could say that's the strangest game I've got this night or this show.
Alrighty.
But that's just the beginning.
Well, at least you let us know.
Kind of a
Dor, please put me out of my misery and bring me another app.
Alrighty. Okay, what I'm going to bring next is actually, I believe, a rehash from about 30 shows ago, but I don't recall if there was an actual app in the App Store to go along with it. So I'm bringing the app, and there is a paid version of the app. A while back, I mentioned how there were certain applications that I really just, did not want installed on my phone anymore because the benefit of a native installed app versus just accessing it in a web browser wasn't good enough. For instance, Google Plus. I don't need to know every time somebody pluses one of my posts. I don't need to know every time somebody shares one of my postings. I don't need to know when someone pluses one of my comments. I don't need to know the split second somebody posts something to one of our groups.
Doesn't that give you justification for life, though? Doesn't it make you feel better as a person when people, like, your post is blowing up?
No, actually, having kids that rely on me kind of do that. So when they move out, I don't know what to do. But this was one of the apps I found that, honestly, I like the illusion it creates. So you download this app called Hermit Light Apps Browser is the free one by Chimbori, productivity app, E for everyone. Free to install, does have the in-app purchase to go up to the paid version. 9,453 reviews, 4.6 average reviews, updated December 13th, 2017. Between 500,000 and 1 million installs, version 10.15. What you do is you open up the app, and then you can either pick a popular service or website, or you can enter your own URL. And then it basically creates a shortcut on your desktop, like a browser bookmark per se, right on your home screen. You click that, and in a isolated browser window, it launches that web page as if it was an application. Hmm. So you don't get any notifications from the app, but you get the at least direct access to this service, is the way I put it. In most of my experiences using this, you don't see a slowdown versus the browser versus the web app for a huge majority of the apps. Now, certain apps with a lot of downloadable cache that it wants to keep, you could see a performance increase from having a native installed app. But for most of my experiences, because I open up Google Plus, you know, maybe 10 times a day or something, it's always downloading fresh content. So I don't see much of a benefit to a native app. So I downloaded Hermit, said I want Google Plus, puts an icon on my desktop, and voila, I open it up and it goes right to my Google Plus main stream. And I can see things, plus things, see the notifications, see my own profile, see what everyone else is posting. There are more options in it. You can set like overall themes, default font sizes, stuff like that. When you share it out, it shares it just like a URL. There's no difference. So if there are apps, like the big ones to me are Twitter, Facebook, mm-hmm. Google Plus, Wikipedia, even news sites, if you want to go to any of them of any kind, whether blue, red, or whatever, or The Onion, and you don't want to have a dedicated app for that site, you can just download this, create a icon on your home screen that looks like the app basically, and launch it, and away you go.
And it looks like there actually are, you said you didn't need them, but you have notification options, so you can let a web page give you a toaster style notification using a 2 meg app.
I did say, well, I guess I didn't have that turned on. And also, it does have some kind of pop-up blocker, ad blocker, malware protection, JavaScript blocker, data saver mode, AMP support, yada, 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 yada. Reader mode, night mode, multi-window. You know, everything you can think of that could be offered in a browser, to me, it looks like is offered in this. So far, I'm really liking it, is what I'm going to say. So I happily bought the app. I can't even remember how much it was. I want to say it was $1.99 purchase. And it just works good.
So the free version gives you two light apps, and then you pay for the unlimited version, and you can do as many as you want. $2.99 is what the pay is.
Seems worth it to me.
You know, and that's what Steve Jobs said when the original iPhone came out. You don't need apps. You just need the browser, and we're going to get you. People are going to write mobile-specific code on the web, and you won't need apps. And then the world couldn't make that transition from, you know, the BlackBerry and Palm world of apps. And so we've kind of been in this, isn't Google sort of doing this with the, what are they calling it? Apps on the fly? Is that their name for it? Where essentially you download the pieces of code that you need. We're all trying to go back to that model of the web page is the app. But we're just still stuck in this download the code on your phone. Like the IMDb app, for example. Why is that an app? I know that it is, but why is it when you can just go to imdb.com and do exactly the same thing? There are lots of apps like that there's no reason for it to be an app. All you want is a placeholder to the web page.
Yeah, it's called Google Instant Apps.
That's it.
And hypothetically, IMDb, we'll use that as an example. IMDb is an 8 meg download for the entire app. You do your search through the Google app. You hit a result that is an IMDb result. You hit that, and if it has Instant Apps enabled, it will download 2 megs of the app. in a container, which actually will have less permissions to your data and your device than the actual installed app will have. And it happens fairly quickly. With Instant Apps, the ones I've used, even on not superior connections, it took like 2 or 3 seconds to download. And then I had what appeared to me the exact same functionality I would have had inside of that native app. And then it keeps that as a local cache. So next time you access it, it's already there. It will only work with apps you do not have installed on your device already. So if you already have the app installed, Instant App will not launch. Instead, the full-blown app will launch. I hate to say it, Mark. We are slowly going back to Steve Jobs' ideal, and we're doing it because right now that code will be most useful on an Android device. It's not going to be ubiquitous work on all devices. It looks like that code will really only work on Google devices, so it's to Google's future proofing of their own company to push this technology as far as they can so more people use it. Right now, there's only a very few sites who use it, maybe 5.
I think you're right. I think we're going back to the past. The history doesn't necessarily repeat itself, but it certainly echoes.
Yeah, and I mean, I don't agree with a huge amount what Steve Jobs says, like, oh, modern medicine, but there are certain things he said that are uncannily correct. And I do think in a perfect ideal world, apps would not have existed because all they did was silo people where web code runs anywhere because it's web code.
Right. And app developers hate this. Facebook, for example, makes it really difficult to use their web page in a full functioned way because they don't have the hooks into your operating system there. They can't scan your contacts there. They can't check your location there. They can't use the synergy of the other apps on your device. So, for example, messaging now, for a long time, you could do that on the mobile app. Then, you could do that on the mobile version of their webpage. They took that out. You can't message at all. Then they took it out of their app entirely. Now it's not even in the Facebook app. You have to have a separate messaging app. The only reason that they would do that is, A, messaging is the primary focus of Facebook for a certain subset of the audience. And B, they want to have two hooks into your operating system, not just one, because then they can compare data between the Facebook app and the Messenger app, and between the two of them, they can gather more information, and they are in the information business. And so the solution to that is apps like I use. Friendly is one. There's lots of them out there that use mobile calls, web calls to the Facebook servers that they have to be able to do even for their own app, so you can't hide them. But it's essentially the web pages, you know, rendered on an Android phone. And so there's this battle going on right now between the consumers who don't want to have 128 gigs of storage on their device just so they can have 32 gigs for pictures and videos, and developers who want as much information as possible about your system. Everything is an app these days. And you know, why would a flashlight even be a thing? Why is that even an app? Because it
funny you should ask. Guess what my next app is? I'll just hit enter now.
Google has put that into their OSs for a while now, but still there are a ton of Android apps. Like, for example,
the next one I'm bringing. Now I tried to use Friendly for my Facebook usage, and there's another subset of the Facebook users who use a part called the Marketplace, and you can't access that through the Friendly app. You have to have either the full web page or the app installed. So I can't wait to try this Hermit and see if I can get to everything I need through it. You know, I'm going to try because I really don't like having Facebook on any device of mine. So this app I'm bringing next is called Flashlight and Sleep Timer Lamp. The only reason I'm bringing this is because it adds a dimension that I didn't know was needed. But some people live in the dark and they use their flashlight on their phone to read at night, maybe, or something, and they don't want to leave their flashlight on their phone on all night, so this is a little timer. You can have it turn itself off after 5 minutes, or 20 minutes, or half hour, or however long you want to leave your flashlight on without you having to turn it off yourself. Or if you lay you're using your phone as a flashlight, and you lay it down on its back because you're done using it for whatever reason, you set it down on your desk, and you never remembered that you left your flashlight on because it's flashing directly at a desk and no light seeping out the sides. And I'm like, oh, man, I probably just drained a bunch of my battery out. This is one way to get around it. It does have ads at the top and the bottom of the flashlight, but this is a flashlight app that actually may have a little bit of a purpose.
All right.
Okay, well, let's see permissions, view details, find your identity, find contacts, access to your camera, recover data from the internet, view network connections, control flashlight, view network access, use accounts on this device, prevent device from sleeping.
Well, I can see a couple of those, maybe.
About half of them worry me, but okay, here's a side tangent plus gimmick routine thing. If you have to use Facebook Messenger, okay, more than likely Hermit would not work with Facebook Messenger because it's Facebook Messenger. You might be able to put it in desktop mode, it might work, but if you have to have any app like this or like the flashlight app installed on your phone, there's a feature in it you can't find anywhere else, which is possible. What you can do on most Android phones is set up a Google for Work account on your device, which is the same email account and everything, but it puts an app inside of its own container, and you can explicitly say, this app does not have access to my contacts. This app does not have access to my storage. This app does not have internet access. So forth and so on. Now, this has ads. It's going to need internet access. It is your flashlight. It's going to need access to turn the flashlight on. To keep the screen on probably is another way it ensures that the flashlight stays on. So those three features I can understand. But if you have to have apps like this installed, you can install Google for Work, where you get a second version of Google Play on your phone with a different icon. And any app you install in there, you can explicitly grant, deny access to certain things. I use it, for instance, my sister insists on communicating by Facebook Messenger, no other way. I'm not logging into full-blown Facebook. I'm not downloading it on my account, so I use Google for Work, where it can't see anything on my device, but it does once in a while remind me, you have 800 notifications that are pending. Oh, great. Yeah, I don't care.
There's also Messenger Lite, which may help too, but I'm not going to, I don't know, it may not. It was available in Europe and other countries, and they just like last month let Americans use it. So something else to look into if you don't want the full-blown Messenger on your phone. So can't blame you for not wanting it.
Yeah, I don't put any Facebook apps on my phone just because of, A, I'm not a big Facebook user, but B, personal experience in the past, that would be the one app that would tank my phone's performance, mm-hmm. and battery and everything would just go to crap. And you know, I could uninstall it and it would all come back. And you know, double blind tests have shown over and over again that when I install that app, my phone goes to crap. And my wife had the same experience. So why would I want that? For something, again, if it's a major part of your life, if you're in the marketplace, if that's a business, if that's a thing you're doing, then yeah, I get it. But no, for me, the casual guy who makes like 10 posts a month at the most, no. All right. Door, was the Google for Work your app, or do you have another one?
No, because I mean, that's really not an app in my logic. What I'll bring is an app, a game that was brought to us in the Google Plus Android App Addict community by Richard. Thank you, Richard. An utterly gorgeous game, completely free with a $2.50 purchase for the actual full-blown app itself. It's called Dragon Boom. DRAG_N_BOOM. And yes, you're a dragon. Games. Everyone 10 and up. 56,000 reviews. Completely free in-app purchase of $2.50. 4.9 average reviews, 51,000 five-star reviews, updated December 13th, 2017, between 1 million, 5 million installs, current version 1.1.0. The only way I can classify this game quickly is gorgeously animated, simpler graphics. They're not simple, they're not 8-bit graphics, but they're simpler graphics, but they're absolutely gorgeous. And it's a tap and, I don't know, smash type format maybe, where you tap in a direction to go that way on one side of your device. You tap in a direction on the other side of your device, and that's the direction that you shoot fireballs because you're a dragon.
It looks, it almost looks like the physics of motion, just from watching the video, were like Angry Birds, but you didn't say Angry Birds, so I don't think it's going to be that way.
No, I mean, it's a weird combination of sometimes it's like Sonic-like games. Sometimes it has, I don't want to say Flappy Bird type physics, but, you know, it's click, drag, and launch type physics. It's, to me, this game is hard to classify, but yet if you start playing it 30 seconds in, a minute in, you completely get it. It isn't hard, but I think it is hard to communicate.
This game has such good reviews. There's no way I cannot install it. I mean, I just have to see what this is all about, because I've never seen a game across the board just be loved like this.
51,000 five-star reviews. That's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good, and I thank Richard for bringing it to us. And if you want these kind of games early, if you join us on Google Plus, not Facebook, in our Android App Addict group, you'll have early access to this before I ever bring it to the show. And this is, I'll say this, this is a really good game. My son even stopped his YouTube video Minecraft Nintendo Switch playing for a couple of days to play this, and he said it was great.
Thank you, Richard. Yeah, good bring.
Or do you even have a Facebook account?
Technically, yes. If anybody messages me, I don't answer it, except my sister. If anybody tags me in a picture, I never go see it. I never log into it. The only way I actually log into it is via Hootsuite. When I post something, Hootsuite automatically posts to it. But that, I believe, is the only way stuff automatically goes there.
Is there a Podnuts Facebook page?
Technically, yes.
You don't have a social media manager working that?
Okay. I understand people say you have to have one, you have to have one, you have to have one. In reality, 1934 Germany, people said, yeah, but he's done so much for the country. But he's done so much for the country. I mean, we didn't have any of this before. Now we have all this. Sometimes you just got to say, I don't care. No, I don't agree. I'm not going to use it. I don't see literally any good on any level from anybody that comes out of Facebook. All I see is snooty, arrogant, self-centered white kids making billions of dollars. I see incessant arguments about everyone confusing beliefs and facts, claiming they know everything, claiming they're right, claiming everyone else is an idiot, claiming everyone else is ignorant. And then I see grandparents incessantly posting pictures of grandkids, and I don't want any of that. If people want to contact me, take an ounce of effort, leave Facebook.com, go anywhere else in the known universe of the internet, and contact me, and I'll answer you. But if you're in Facebook and you turn and you try to type me a message, I will never in my life even know it exists.
I have to say I'm right there with you in on this hallway of tunnel vision away from Facebook. Somehow they gave it to me as part of my job to be the Facebook administrator for the city. That Facebook page doesn't have a lot going on. I was against it when they even, I mean, I wasn't there, so I had no say in it, but there's no reason for, that's the wrong place for anything to be. It's just, no. You can't post that, hey, guess what? Everybody in the city is going to get $100 off of their electric bill every month for the next 10 years. Well, what about year 11? You know?
Well, see, to me, if you're a local business and you want to push the fact that you have donuts today, 10% off or something, or, you know, something local like that that you want to push to make money off of, I almost understand why you're forced to use it. Yeah, but you in a government job forced to use it is like a mechanic forced to wash his hands every 10 minutes. Why? You're going to get them dirty again. You're a mechanic.
I don't understand the analogy there, but I get your point that some things, social media doesn't belong some places. That's one of the things that when you get around podcasters, I expect that you'll hear about this when you're heading out to podcast conference. What is it called? Podcast Southwest? Where is it?
It's actually in the Southeast. It's
Podfest.
Podfest.
I was going to let you go. Yeah, see where you're running.
I couldn't remember the name of it. It's really tired.
Orlando, Arizona.
Anyway, so the point is, one of the things I expect you'll hear, there'll probably be keynote speeches on the importance of social media in podcasting. And I hear that all the time, that you can't, if you want numbers, you got to be on the social medias and all that sort of stuff. And I have always been, I suck at that. Just in general, I am really bad at prostituting myself for the masses, and you know, and they'll tell you that you got to craft an image. You know, when I'm reading through my news feeds, it's amazing how many things have an image that have nothing to do with the article, but it's a compelling image, and so people apparently will click on it just to see, you know, what it is. Like there's a girl, you know, a girl in it, and the article is about tires. But there's a picture with a girl, and for me, social media just always seems like the lowest form of advertising. It's like all the things that you hate about the modern advertising culture distilled down into the pure essence of just banality and just dickishness everywhere you go. And people say you can't succeed without that. Well, if I can't succeed without that, I don't want to succeed.
Well, people who say that, I'll say first and foremost, have no idea what podcasting actually is. That's like somebody who's been a couch quarterback their entire life telling you, if you want to be a good quarterback in the NFL, you gotta know how to talk on camera. One thing has absolutely nothing to do with the other. You don't need any social media presence. The cream will indeed rise to the top. If you podcast and you podcast well, they will come. That's the bottom line. If you are on iTunes, if you do anything like that, and if you do a good podcast, if you have good audio, if you do it consistently, if you're not a jerk and you give away everything that you can for free, you will find a dedicated group of people where if they want to, they will spread the word of you on social media. You putting it on social media is like a classless, tacky, used car salesman trying to convince you that this 79 Camry is the car of your dreams. And if you believe any social media postings about any podcast from the creator themselves, you are ripe for the picking. I got a bridge to tell you. Because I'm not going to post and say, yeah, this episode of Android App Axe wasn't the best, but we had fun doing it. Why don't you download it? Because they don't do that on social media. This is the best podcast ever. We had a tremendous guest from Arizona, all the way from Arizona. You know, they're always going to just overhype themselves. And I don't know about you, but I'm completely numb to it. I mean, I share other people's postings about their podcast because I genuinely like their podcast. And what they don't understand is my retweeting of their show is more credible than them sending it out initially because it's an independent third-party support. Just like your local plumber, electrician, if a good friend of you tells you you need plumbing work, you call up Jake's Plumbing. He's a good guy, does good work. You're going to believe that friend a millionfold over any amount of ads you see on TV for Lightning Plumbing. Just the way it is.
You know, I've spent a lot of time in and around churches that are trying to build their audience. And it's interesting. It's the same sort of mentality that we have there. We've got to have the right music. We've got to have the right look. We have to have the right thing. And one of the things I've always said is, guys, people will come to your church when you have something going on worth coming to. You know, when you have something worth coming to, people will come. And I feel the same thing about podcasting. If people aren't listening to your podcast, if they're not downloading, if they're not telling people about it, it's because your content sucks. Or maybe it doesn't suck. Maybe it's perfect, but it's perfect for 1,000 people. And it's not perfect for 100,000 people.
And that's fine. No podcast is meant or intended to get 100,000 people downloading. And if it does, it's commercial garbage is what I'm going to say. And I'm sorry. Go look at any of these lists, best podcasts of 2017. The one thing you're going to notice is you've never heard of any of them. And then if you look at them, you're going to find out this is from Hollywood. This one's from New York radio station. This one's from a newspaper. Garbage, garbage, garbage. And if you listen to it, all they do is spend their entire show shoving stuff down your throat, telling everybody how they're right and how this is the best bed you could ever have. Buy it. Use my code. Use my discount code. It's all crap. Like 90% of the podcasts out there are complete garbage. And I know I subscribe to over 140 podcasts and some of them are just garbage. And part of the reason I listen is so I know what not to do.
Well put, man. Totally agree.
And I'm going to, Mark, when I go down to that conference, I'm going to piss people off.
I love Mark. I might be looking for you to hang out with while I'm down there.
Well, you're going to be stuck down there with two guys who don't drink. So what are you going to do? Dor can't drink anymore. I don't drink.
Sounds like more for me.
Oh, okay. Designated drivers all around.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, that's one less thing to worry about.
All right. Dor, I have been searching the Google Play Store. I cannot find the Google Work Play for Work, whatever you're talking about. So do our listeners and me a favor and post a link to that if you can find it.
I want to say it was in my Google when I went to my notification shade, hit my face, because I don't set a picture, and I could say add user, and I believe that's how I did the Google for Work. I will verify that.
Okay. I can't get into my phone right now to test that, but maybe later when I remember my pattern, I'll try that. But for now, Eric, tell us about your next app.
My next app is not as odd as my last app or the one before it. This is a simple game called Space Spin. It's a good-looking game. Basically, you're at the top of large cylinders that are spinning in a direction, and there's a little arrow that comes off of them. When the arrow is lined up with the cylinder in front of it, you hit the button and you move forward. And it's basically, how many times can you do that? It's the number one free game of winter 2017, which is still appropriate for another few days.
I love that the entire description is that line plus, you can enjoy the fun now, tap install above. And the rest of it is just quotes.
Yeah.
It's meaningless hype.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all it is.
It's Haley Kloss's favorite game yet.
Whoever that is.
Well, it's Haley. She'd never lie to you, except for that one time.
Instant play, tap install above. This is an example of marketing for marketing's sake. We don't know anything about this game. Eric, you just gave a description of this game that is 1,000 light years beyond what the developer of the game himself has provided.
I do. If you want to read Alex's comment in the bottom, I can't say that I didn't get the same satisfaction from this game that he did. Do you see Alex Roberts?
This game just spammed my phone with 9 notifications in less than 3 seconds. Don't bother with this kind of harassment and don't install this game.
Yeah, if he doesn't like the spamminess of this game, definitely don't go back and watch or play Strange Situations, because every time you hit the back button, you'll watch an ad.
Oh, I hate that.
So, have you become a sadist?
No, this game's actually—it's a good-looking game. It's not bad. It's not—it's nothing like what Alex said.
It's the number one free game of winter 2017, Dor.
It was a decent-looking game. It was fun. If you get that gem in the middle, you get bonus points, and then it says perfect when you do it.
Perfect.
Yeah. You know, it reminds me of that Star Trek episode where they all had the Google glasses on and they were playing the game where they were putting the thing in and Wesley and his girlfriend had to go save the ship. It reminds me of that game. You know what I'm talking about?
I don't know what you're talking about.
No? Just me? Okay.
I'm sorry. I'm trying to figure this out. Sorry.
Okay. I'm gonna empty the rest of my tank if you don't mind.
Do it.
All right. The next, more games. Games, games, games. It's like Christmas here. The next game is from Head Up Games, and it's called Bridge Constructor Portal. So this is the mashup that is the game Portal from the Orange Box. And Bridge Constructor. I'm going to tell you guys, I spent $5 on this game, I think. I don't know.
You bought it?
I bought it, yeah. There's no free trial. This game is too hard for me. I can't get anywhere. I can't get anywhere in this game. I considered myself fairly good at Portal. I don't know, I may be mediocre at best at the bridge construction games. This one's tough, too hard. Good looking game, though.
You just put a portal on one side and a portal on the other side and boom, you're there?
I know, right? That's what I remembered Portal being about. So it definitely plays along with the aperture theme from the Portal games, the little computers talking to you through there, you know, kind of snarky a little bit, you know. Remember, testing is the future and the future starts with you, things like that. All right, well, that's that one. Check it out. If you got $5 to spend and you're good at gaming, that's for you, definitely. If you're not so good, might not get that $5 back. My last game of the night is called Peach Blood, and this game is sort of like Slither.io or Agar.io. Remember those games where you're a little creature and you get bigger by eating other creatures slightly smaller than yourself, and you also at the same time can be eaten by creatures that are out there that are bigger than you, and it's like a multi MMOG or whatever those things are. It's kind of like that. I don't know why it's called Peach Blood, but it's Peach Blood by Lard Games. Kind of look like an egg with human legs, I guess, or a marshmallow.
And you're in one of the screenshots, it looks like there's an Iron Man version of an egg going on.
That's weird.
There's a double one too. I can't say that I got that far into it. I did like run over some mushrooms that made me bigger or smaller. I can say that for sure. I'm not sure where the other people come in, how they get so fancy.
Mario ripoff.
Yeah, probably.
Okay.
That's all I got.
Describe this one more time for me because what?
Agario Slitherio Slither.io. Agar AGAR.io. You know what I'm saying? Those things.
I thought you were having a stroke. I was waiting for it to pass.
It says run away from big, eat up tiny. That's really all you need to know.
There you go. Run away from big.
So
eat up tiny.
So it's a pseudo three-dimensional Slither.io. Have you seen Slither.io?
Yeah.
We talked about it recently.
Yeah, it's this. So that's all it is. It's a pseudo three-dimensional Slither.io. Instead of gaining segments in your snakish-like physique, you become more bulbous.
Perfect, Dor. Perfect. You nailed it.
More bulbous.
Show topic. Show title. Peach blood. More bulbous.
Bulbous vembers. They get larger.
And it's from Lard Games, and you kind of look like a gob of lard there to begin with.
For some reason, they're called vembers.
Yeah.
Why not?
With Reb,
it's very Reb disturbing, Eric.
Backwards, maybe. I don't know.
Dor, please rescue me from Eric's disturbing apps.
Okay. First one I'm going to bring here is called Maker's Empire 3D, 3D printing, and 3D modeling. If you have any untapped creativity or, creativity you want to get out there and just make and create, with this app, you can make three-dimensional objects that you can easily then export for printing. It gives you the option, if you want to colorize and put your creations with backdrops so you can actually see how they will look, at least in their universe kind of thing. It's a step up from Minecraft. Not by a lot, but it's a step up from Minecraft where if you want to create, you can. I will say, if you're not familiar with 3D printing and the order of printing and when you need supports or when you don't need supports, there are certain ways you can design your print to minimize the amount of supports needed. It's painfully obvious in everything they design here, they don't. And the supports that will be needed are absolutely insane. And probably be just as much, if not more, than the print itself. So, if you just want to create, I'll lean on that. If you just want to create, this might be a cool way to get stuff out there. But I don't see it being a great tool to make 3D models while on the go.
Okay, so it wouldn't be a mobile version of Tinkercad or probably similar?
You could use this to design fine things to print in your 3D printer. If the more simplistic the design, the better. But if you have experience with your printer, then you know when to lay stuff flat, so it maximizes the amount of surface to bed ratio to minimize the amount of support you need. So if you go into that, you'd be okay.
What if you're just a gamer, like say on Xbox or PlayStation, and you are into creating your avatar? Would this be like the next step where you could just create an avatar without constraints more?
You could make it into anything or out of anything, yes. And because it does allow you to individually colorize stuff, it could actually be a pretty good use case. I'll say that.
So just be creative with it.
Yeah. Okay. And what I'm going to bring next here is the old thing, clicking on that nostalgia bone. Revamped, remade for, 2017, even though we're nearly out of 2017. It's called Galaga Wars, and it's by Bandai Namco, the original company. 14,000 reviews, E for everyone, does have in-app purchases, 4.3 average reviews, 9,000 five-star reviews, updated December 6, 2017, between 1 million and 5 million installs. Current version 3.3.1.1003. In-app purchases anywhere from $2.99 to $6.99. I did not do the in-app purchase, and I will not do the in-app purchase. It's okay. The thing that I don't like about this game is you hold down on the screen and you nonstop shoot and move around. Once you let go of the screen, the game basically pauses. Mm. So I'm not a huge fan of that mechanic. It means you can play with one hand. So if you're in a grocery store line or something, this might be good for a little break. It does introduce a little bit of three-dimensionality. This ain't a real word. There's no video in the store. Let's start there. Picture number 4 in the store, you see a little bit of the 3D, or 5. You see a little bit of 3D going on where you're flying like into your screen. And if you position yourself right, you can pick up extra coins and bonuses. It's at best okay. It's a little bit fun. It's not the original. It does harken back to the original, to where you can have two ships right next to one another. It does have extra stuff added, like some weird missiles and bonuses you can get kind of thing. But the enemies actually, to me, do look like the original, which helped.
It almost looks like the backgrounds are so good looking, they'd be a little distracting from, so it's hard to tell what's what.
It does make it a little bit more difficult to see when a shot is coming to you it versus just a solid flat background. Yes.
Any idea in picture 6 why that guy needs help or who he might be? It's like somebody's ex brother-in-law, and they just coded it in there that this guy needs help. Stay away.
Okay, see on the top. You know how in the game you could get captured?
Yes, right.
Well, once in a while, another player gets captured and goes across the top of your screen horizontally. And if you shoot the bug that captured him, he'll become your teammate. He'll come down to you.
That's pretty cool. I like that.
It was okay. Yeah. In reality, I give this a solid 5 or 6 out of 10. If you're a Galaga nut, you'll probably like this.
See, I had clicked install as soon as I saw the word Galaga, and then you started talking me out of it with your review.
Hey, it's not going to cost you a quarter per play, though, so you're okay, Mark. You know, you got that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'll say this. For what it is, it's fun, but don't expect it to be more than Galaga.
I mean, is it going to taint my love of the original? Is this going to sour my taste for Galaga? I can't afford that.
I don't know, because no matter what, nothing's going to live up to your... Okay, well, memory, that's just human nature. So it's better it happens now versus when you're completely senile. Maybe.
Next week.
I'm going to bring next here. We have an app on our phone that's called Push Bullet. Push Bullet did a couple things, made a couple people mad. So I want to bring to light a alternative app that does a lot of the same things. It's not the exact same app, but it does a lot of the same things. And it's called Join by Joa Apps, even though it's by Joa MGCD.
Close enough.
Name, I mean, it's rolls off.
JOAOAPPS.
Sure. Join. Two phones, white bar on the one, yellow arrow on the other. Join. If you just search for join, you'll find it. 1,957 reviews. E for everyone. Does have an in-app purchase. I have not bought it yet. 4.5 average reviews. 1,496 five-star reviews, updated November 30th, 2017, between 100,000 and 500,000 installs, current version 1.8. In-app purchases range from 99 cents to $16.49. I have no idea what that number is. I'm going to guess it's, we like you a lot, here's money, not an actual purchase. It's a simple way to do communication between multiple Android devices. So if you have a phone and a tablet, where you have your desktop and your phone, or you have your phone and your desktop browser and you want to do text messaging through it. This is the kind of app that can connect multiple devices or your full desktop web browser in order to do more seamless communications between the two, or you just want to do stuff like answer your text messages while on your computer.
And these are for two devices that are on the same Wi-Fi network or over the internet, you could reach them, or...
I'm 99% sure they do not have to be on the same network. I do believe it will work across the internet.
That could be handy.
30-day trial, $5 to unlock.
Yeah, and Push Bullet, I want to say, charges the same amount. So it's really, I think, a huge percentage of people buying this are people who just don't want to support Push Bullet because they changed what they swore they were going to be this, they swore they were going to be that, then they ended up charging money. Okay, next one I'm going to bring is honestly more of a PSA. The state of California, which is a big state with a lot of people in it, hence they have so many people in the House, and I got a 50-50 chance of being right with that one. Starting January 1st, cannabis is going to become legal. And this is an app where if you run this app and you answer a couple questions, it can help you make the appropriate decision should you be driving. California CHIPS, California Highway Patrol, made it very clear it is going to be very illegal to drive under the influence of cannabis. They're not even sure how they're going to measure this. They might just go by the smell. We don't know. But if you're in California and you're going to partake after January the 1st, I highly encourage you to think twice and think, do you want a DUI? This is going to be just as severely handled as if you get caught stone drunk. I guess that's a proper use of words there. So if you know the same exact penalty, this is not a joke. This is not something anybody should take easy. If you want to do this stuff in a legal manner and you do it at your house, that's different. Don't do it and drive. And this app can help you make that decision. It asks you a couple questions, sees how quick you come back with an answer and how accurate your answer is, and it tries to do its best to determine whether it thinks you should drive or not. The developer did say it more goes towards caution than yes, you should be driving. Basically insinuating if there's any belief they have in the app and in your response that you are under the influence, it will tell you no, do not drive.
It doesn't say it in here, but I think that this works better with Samsung phones and the facial recognition, and it just looks to see if your eyes are bloodshot or not.
No. Yeah.
That must be a different app.
Yeah. This actually asks you questions and asks you to perform tasks, whether it's drag this into that box or actually answer questions.
I'd like to set up the baseline just to see what the questions are, and then I don't really have a way to impair myself, but to test it.
Well, there are other ways to impair yourself other than marijuana.
True.
Lots of mind-altering chemicals that are sold on a daily basis.
Yeah.
Yep. And what it looks like, I'm going to follow up here before the end of the show. What it looks like you do, Mark, is you go into your Android device if you want to do Google for work. Go into your Android device, go home, settings, and then I believe you go down to accounts, possibly, or Google. And then when you do, I believe it's Google, and that is where you can set up a Google Apps. Because I looked everywhere else, and I did not say that. Trigger word. I looked everywhere else, and everywhere else it looked like there is no app to download. It's built into your functionality of your phone, your device, as long as you're running 5.0 or newer.
I gotta see what these tests are. Code, so try it. I want to spend 99 cents though.
Well, I mean, if you look through the pictures, it pretty much tells you what they are. You know, when you see a square, type the square. When you see a circle, type the oval. When you know, follow the circle on the screen as much as possible. Hold the phone in your left hand and lift your right leg, and it measures your accelerometer.
It doesn't like make a song or write poetry and see if you get a lot better at it or anything like that.
Not convinced that would do it.
It plays Dylan, and depending on how good you think he is how impaired you are.
There you go.
Okay, here's what I had to do. Home, settings, Google, then I had to go towards the very bottom, set up a work profile.
Okay, I'll try that when I can get into my device.
That's where it let me.
So how are you going to fix this, Mark?
It'll just come to me. It'll happen. I'm not worried about it. I'll get up at 3 a.m. to pee and think, well, let me check my email, and then
it'll just be right there.
The muscle memory will be there.
Oh man, do you change it ever?
No, it's the second time in like 5 months that's happened. It's just that part of my brain has just been overwritten by something else. It'll come back. In the meantime, I have tablets and computers and all other ways to access my information.
Yeah.
All right, let me recap the apps. It was a bevy of them. Starting with Gift Card Granny, buy and sell discount gift cards by Gift Card Granny LLC. Strange Situations by Colossal. Hermit Light by Chimbury. Flashlight and Sleep Timer Lamp by Krigo Limited. Drag and Boom by Ankama Games. Space Spin by Best Instant Fun. Bridge Constructor Portal by Head Up Games. Peach Blood by Lard Games. Maker's Empire 3D, 3D Printing and 3D Modeling by Maker's Empire. Galaga Wars by Bandai Namco Entertainment Europe. Join by JoApps by JoMCD Productivity. And Druid Impairment Evaluation App Marijuana Driving by Michael Milburn. That's a wide gamut of apps there. So another way that maybe you could test if you were impaired is do the Strange Situations apps. And if it makes perfect sense to you, you're too impaired to drive.
Yeah, don't drive.
If it doesn't creep you out, don't get in the car. That's my PSA.
Not even
for
as
you.
Passenger?
Yeah, just don't get in the car at all.
Tell them to just leave you there and you'll make you find your way back.
Eric, do you have any final words of wisdom for the last time this year?
If you're getting dropped off somewhere, make sure you get a full battery. You gotta make it out.
Fair enough.
And support the show and the podcast network, and come see us and hang out with us in February at PodFest 2018.
Sure. Your final comments of the year, sir.
Well, I'll say in a light way what you say, which is support those who support you. Bottom line, you have to take a stand. You have to decide sooner or later who's going to get your love, who's going to get your attention, and who's going to get your respect. If you want Hollywood type podcast, listen to them. When they ask you a million times to go to whatever.com/whatever, then do that. If that's who you want to support, if you want to support us, just go to podnuts.com, click on support. If you want to support other podcasts, do that. The only thing I really do encourage people is support those who support you and spread the love.
And I'm just going to say it's been a privilege to be with you for the year 2017. I have enjoyed my time here. I am grateful to Dor and Eric for allowing me to be here each week, even though I'm not here each week. Got a lot going on. I haven't been as faithful as I'd like to be, but I do miss you when I'm gone, and I enjoy being here when I am, and I look forward to many, many more shows in the future. Happy 2017, everybody, and spend the next, 2 days, 2.5 days, asking yourself very seriously, what are you going to do to make 2018 better? Better for you, better for those around you, better for those you care about, better for the world at large. It starts with you, and you can't do it unless you spend some time thinking about it. So take a moment and ask yourself, how are you going to make the world better? And that's it for this episode of the Android App Addicts podcast. Bye, everybody.
My name is Jeff Allish. I am the host of Podnuts, the Computer Repair Podcast, where we take live calls on the air to answer your questions on running and operating your computer repair business every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern. You can check it out over at podnuts.com/computer-repair-podcast-live.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.